for tuning in to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This program is brought to you each week by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, as well as the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Welcome to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and this is your call-in radio talk program. I'm here tonight with Kerry Clark, and we're here to answer your questions and listen to your comments. This is a weekly radio program. We encourage you to call in, and if you have a pencil, jot this number down, 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. keqx@rocketmail.com. We encourage you to write in, call in, give us your comments, ask your questions. And before we start our show tonight, we would like to express our sympathy to those individuals in Chile that have experienced that massive earthquake, as well as those that are in Haiti, and our thoughts and our prayers go out to everyone there. I understand that we have some kin folks from Stephenville that are in Chile right now, and we certainly want them to know that they are in our prayers. What we have been doing for the last several weeks is looking at the seven keys to personal growth. And we began looking at these keys. The first one was loyalty. We spent a couple of weeks on that, and that is the foundation of the seven keys for our personal spiritual growth in Christ Jesus. We went from loyalty to responsibility last week, and this week we are going to go right on in to courage. Now, when we're talking about courage, the Greek word for courage is steadfastly minded, or to make strong. If you look at your thesaurus, you'll find some synonyms for courage. Among those synonyms are backbone, bravery, fearless, and nerve. Now, this evening, what we're going to do is notice that if we continue to grow in personally in our relationship to God, and we're going to have to be a warrior. We're going to have to be ready to fight. We're going to have to be ready to grow. And we're going to run into a lot of conflict as we grow spiritually. If you haven't tried it, then you will not know what kind of obstacles you're going to come up against. So we're going to look at this as warriors. And if we want to grow personally as a warrior that God wants us to be, we must have courage. Now, we're going to look at some of the examples of courage. But before we do, I want to read a quote from Amelia Earhart concerning courage. She says, "The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely tenacity. The fears are paper tigers. You can do anything you decide to do. You can act to change and control your life, and the procedure, the process, is its own reward." That is Amelia Earhart. And, of course, we know that she was some kind of a courageous person, but what we're going to look at are some examples from the Bible. And as we have said from the very beginning of this program, you have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. That's all we want to do is to expose God's Word and compare it to what men have had to say. And you might find very curiously that many times men do not say what God has to say. As a matter of fact, they come up with something different, don't they, Kerry?
Yeah, just about all the time.
Yes, sir. And so Kerry's going to begin us off by reading to us a passage from the book of Joshua. We do encourage you to take your Bibles if you're in a place where you can, so you can follow along with us. And we're going to read from Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to see one of the very first examples of courage that we're going to look at this evening. Kerry?
If you have your Bible, let's open to Joshua chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place, now listen to this very carefully, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. For from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the lands of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand against thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee. Now listen to this, friends. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law of which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Carrie, what we have here is the introduction to an extremely courageous young man.
Amen.
And Joshua is an example that we should all take note of. And one thing I think we need to note before we even go any further, that Joshua's courage is based upon his faith.
Yes.
His faith in God, his faith in God's word. You might notice there he said to observe all that Moses has commanded you. Now, Moses commanded not only Joshua, but all of the Israelites, commanded the word of God. So faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells Amen. Us, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Everything that we know about our faith comes from the word of God, that which we know of the word of God. So if we know a little bit about the Word of God, we have a small faith, maybe right. a weak faith. If we know a lot about the Word of God, our faith continues to grow and to get stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, Joshua's courage was based upon his faith in God's Word. And it was not some kind of a blind leap of faith that you hear about today.
Yeah.
Based upon the Word of God, that which we know concerning God's Word. Now, if his courage comes from that faith, then he's got to have an awful lot of knowledge of the Word and the will of God.
You know, David, you look at what he says in this text, and he says, you know, the verse number 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He said, Joshua, if you're going to be a leader, you need to have that book, and you need to speak that book everywhere you go. And he says, meditate on it day and night. Observe to do according to all that is written there. And David, I don't know, and this might open up some discussion. So if you have a phone, grab your phone. The number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 445-2473. David, I get a little bit frustrated when people say, well, I'm trying to do what God said. I'm trying to do. He said, you do it.
Right.
He didn't say try to do it. He said, you do it. Now, the Old Testament law was a difficult law for people to follow, but God said, Joshua, you do it.
Right.
And you do all of it. And then he said, when you do that, verse number 8, then God will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Well, David, the flip side of that, if I don't do it, I'm not going to prosper, and I'm not going to have good success.
Right. Well, I think, Kerry, one of the reasons that a lot of people keep and continue to say, well, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, could it be possible their lack of knowledge of what God wants them to do would have something that was conflicting with what they were actually trying to do.
Yes.
Versus what God would have us to do.
That's right.
Now, it's not a very difficult thing to understand what God has to say to us. You don't have to have some kind of superhuman knowledge to understand what He's written in our Bible. We're just a couple old country guys here that picked up a book and started reading, and anybody can, but you cannot know what to do that is pleasing to God until you know what God wants you to do, and the only way that we can know that is through the study of His Word. Now, it's just interesting to note that this is the very same thing that gives us faith. An understanding of the will and the Word of God. That is what gives us faith. Now, when we look at Joshua, we get to the book of Joshua, and we see that Joshua is going to be placed into control, of all of God's people instead of Moses. But Joshua gained courage and was noted as a courageous individual long before we get to the book of Joshua. We Amen. Must go back all the way into the book of Numbers, and I want to throw a couple of names at you here for those of you that are listening. Also, Kerry, have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Shamua, or Shaphat, or Egal, or Palti, or Gadiel?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Well, the majority of us, we may have even heard of them, but they are extremely forgetful names.
Yeah,
those are the names of the 10 unfaithful people that were sent alongside Joshua and Caleb to spy out the land by God Himself. Now, isn't it interesting that 10 out of 12 are absolutely and totally forgotten, but you mentioned Joshua and Caleb's name, and everybody remembers them.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And the difference, folks, and this is exactly what David's trying to get us to see, is those people who acted as cowards have basically been forgotten. God said, go in and spy out the land, and I'll give you that land. And then they come back, oh, we can't do it. We can't do what God said. It's too much for us to go in and conquer this land.
Well, you know, even in chapter 13, and if you have your Bibles, those of you that are listening, we're talking about courage, one of the 7 keys to our own personal spiritual growth. And we're looking at a tremendous example here, the example of Joshua. In verse 28 of Numbers chapter 13, the 10 unfaithful, unbelieving, cowardly individuals, in verse number 28, they came back complaining. So those people in there be too strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and they're very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, those children of Anak were some giants, if you will, great big basketball-looking playing guys.
Yeah.
And they were out there, and they were part of a tribe of people, the Anakites, or
yes.
Anakims, that's right.
Yeah.
And so these individuals are out there, and these folks are scared of them. These 10 people are absolutely and totally afraid of them, even though, as you read in the beginning, that God said, I'm going to be with you.
Yeah.
In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 2, he says, send men. He spoke to Moses. He says, send men that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. I give you this land. He's speaking in past tense. I give you this land, and you go out there and you spy it out so that you'll know what to do. And these individuals come back and they say, we can't do it. But there was only 2 of the whole bunch. One of them was Caleb. The other one was Joshua. They came back and said, we can do it. We can do it.
Yeah, you listen to verse number 30. And by the way, folks, jump in on this conversation at 254-445-2473. 445-2473, or send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. But in Numbers 13 and verse 30, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. David, have you ever noticed that when something happens, maybe you're preaching and you say something, you can almost see in the auditorium the reaction kind of goes through the people, and sometimes they start shifting, you know, and they get a little nervous and mm-hmm. they start squirming in their seat, you know, and that's what you're seeing with this. And Caleb stands up and he steals the people, and he says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He's saying God has promised us this, folks. Don't stop squirming in your seat. Let's get going, because we can go in and conquer this land.
Now, the difference here, the courage that was instilled in Caleb and Joshua came as a result of their faith.
Amen.
They had to have faith in God's word. They had to have trust in God's word to be able to say that. Why could they say, we are able? Because they knew beyond a shadow of doubt, based upon what God had revealed unto them, giving them that faith, God's word giving them that faith, that is where that courage comes from. And we can't have the courage that we need spiritually without the faith.
That's right. You know, and David, I think I mentioned this before on the radio, but there used to be a bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I've said for a long time, that bumper sticker is wrong. God said it, that settles it, and you better believe it.
Yeah, whether you believe it or not.
That's right. And when I was in school, Brother Roy Deaver used to have a saying, and he said, truth is truth. No matter how many men believe it or disbelieve it, truth is always truth.
Absolutely.
Something that is 2 + 2 = 4. Now, that's truth. David, it doesn't matter if you're in Mexico, or it doesn't matter if you're in China or the Antarctica, 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
If you've got 2 penguins and 2 more penguins walk up, you still got 4, no matter how you slice it or dice it.
Right. And Jesus very aptly tells us what truth is.
That's
when
right.
He's praying to the Father in John chapter 17 and
Amen.
Verse 17, he says, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. So you want to know what the truth is? It's the word of God.
Amen.
And everything else is the word of man.
That's
now,
right.
It can be true based upon God's word, or it can be false based upon man's word. And that's the reason that we keep reiterating, you have heard what men have had to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. We're trying to get the truth out there. And what we're talking about today is courage. And we see the courage in the form of a man, a young man by the name of Joshua, a young man by the name of Caleb, who had faith enough in God's word to develop this courage, something that the 10 other men did not have. And you remember just a moment ago, I mentioned one of the synonyms for courage was backbone. And it looks to me like out of 12 people, 2 had a backbone and 10 didn't.
And you know, David, as you continue reading, excuse me, in this context, you get to Numbers chapter 14, and you find that Joshua and Caleb are still trying to get the children of Israel to go through. In verse 8 of Numbers chapter 14, he says, if the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. But verse 9, he said, only rebel not against the Lord. David, you stop and think about it. He's telling us that if we do what God said, God will delight in us. If we don't do what God said, that's rebellion.
Right. And these people, it's interesting, these 10 that were cowardly, the 10 that were unfaithful, the 10 were unbelieving, they actually feared men more than they feared God.
That's right.
Which is just exactly the opposite of the way that we ought to be. We ought to be fearing God, not only fearing Him for His power and His magnificence, but reverencing Him
right.
for what He is. And He is our great God that can deliver us. And this is one of the things that Caleb and Joshua are trying to get across there. I'd like to point out another one of these great lessons that we find when we get over here in Joshua chapter 14. In Joshua chapter 14, when Joshua was distributing this land as Moses had decreed that it had to be, what we find here is Caleb showing us a tremendous amount of courage again.
Yes.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to look at that. So stay tuned. Give us a call at 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light. those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the
Lord. Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-sized Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is P.O. Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Hey, friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible this afternoon. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course I have with me Brother David Harris, and we're looking at seven keys to personal growth. And we've already discussed on our radio program, we talked about loyalty, which is the foundational principle, the foundational key to help us to be loyal to God and to God and His Word. We talked about responsibility, and this evening we're talking about courage. And I want to ask you to open in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Now, to lead up to this, we've already talked about in Numbers chapter 13, God said, send these 12 spies into the land. They're going to spy out the land, and you're going to go in and take the land. And of course, we are reminded of the fact that when they came back from spying out the land, 40 days in the land, that the land was exactly as God described it, a land that flows with milk and honey. And yet 10 of the spies said, we can't go in and conquer this land because the people are too strong. And because of that, God said, you're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, 1 year for each day that the spies were in the land. You're going to have to wander for 40 years. And then we come and we find that in Joshua chapter 14, the Bible says in verse number 6, that Caleb says to Joshua, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, unto me, or concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Verse number 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, David, notice how that you take 10 men, and they can, by their distrust in God and His Word, and they can make a nation have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years.
Well, it seems like people without courage can discourage as many people as they are discouraged, and more so than it's easy to be discouraged, and
yes,
that's exactly what these people are doing, making the heart of the people melt by their discouragement.
That's right. And then verse number 10, Joshua or Caleb continues to say to Joshua, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said. Now watch this, these 45 years. Now, David, if there was ever a man that had a right to be bitter, I would say Caleb had that right. He goes into the land and he says, we can take it. And yet the children of Israel don't do it. But he was not a bitter man. He didn't whine and complain like a lot of people in our world do today. Well, you know, this. Well, I didn't get my way. But he said, now it's 45 years later. And he says, now watch this, verse number 11. I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that he's 85 years old. He says, I am as strong today as I was back then. Now, verse number 12, folks, listen to this. Numbers 14 and verse 12, and you ought to underline it, highlight it in your Bible. Now, they're at 85 years old, David. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Now, that's courage, David.
Absolutely.
85-year-old man standing at the foot of the mountain. Most 85-year-olds today say, well, sonny, I can't make it up that mountain. And he stood there at the bottom of that mountain and said, boys, I'm as strong now as I was then. Get your sword out. I don't care that there's giants in the land. We're going to conquer this land. Woo, that's powerful.
Absolutely. And it's beautiful to get this kind of encouragement,
man,
from examples in our Bible. We have to look long and far to see this kind of courage today. It's not that the people have changed.
No.
I mean, the people are the same. It's just the fact that we have a lack of courage on our part. And this is one of the seven keys to our spiritual growth. We've got to have courage, whatever the foe may be out there. We've got to have courage. And the only way that Caleb had that courage to say, give me this mountain, is because of the faith that he had in God, which built this courage up. He had a courageous faith, and the courage came from his faith.
That's right.
And so what we've seen here are some tremendous examples, an example of Joshua, an example of Caleb. Now, what I would like us to do, Kerry, is to look at a demonstration of this courage that we've been talking about. We know what courage is like. Now, what does it take to have this kind of courage? If you'll look with me in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, we have the same Holy Spirit that writes even the Old Testament. He writes in our New Testament through the Hebrew writer. And verses 5 and 6, he says this, let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that in itself ought to give us courage.
Amen.
I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's exactly the same thing that he told Joshua.
That's right.
And now in verse 6, he says, so that we may boldly say, or with good courage say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And so God, as he spoke to those patriots back there, Joshua and Caleb, the very same words he encourages us with today. Why can't we have the courage to say, give me this mountain?
David, I think a part of it is because we don't know the Bible.
I think you're correct.
You know, we've already established, by the way, friends, jump in on this conversation. 254-445-2473. 2473. By the way, we're in a new building and a new location, so let's get a lot of calls going and get this stuff. Let's talk about it. But David, we don't know the book. And if we don't know the book, we're not going to have the courage to confront the devil. You remember in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is confronted by the devil. He's been out in the wilderness fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says that he was hungry. Imagine that. 40 days without food and he's hungry.
Yeah.
You know what? Satan knows when to tempt us.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when there's going to be the best opportunity to strike. And so he says to Jesus, if you be the Son of God, just turn these stones into bread. You know, David, as far as I know, it would not be sinful for Jesus to turn stones into bread.
No.
He's out there in the wilderness. He could have done that. But at this point, it would be wrong. And Jesus responded, folks, listen to this. Matthew 4 and verse number 4, Jesus said, it is written. David, if Jesus didn't know the Bible, he couldn't have said, it is written.
That's correct.
And so he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, folks, that's what we're talking about. If you know the book, when the devil comes along, you can say, it is written. And in this context, Jesus said three times, it is written, it is written, and again, it is written. He whipped the devil with the word of God, and the devil tucked his tail between his legs, and he ran off because he knew that he had just been confronted by a man, and Jesus, I understand, is God, but he's also man.
Right.
He's confronted by a man who knows the book, that knows God has said, I will not leave thee and I will not forsake thee, and he whipped the devil. And friends, we can whip the devil every day if we quote the book.
That's right. And we notice there also in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus was tempted in three different ways. He was mm-hmm. tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those three categories will cover every kind of sin that's going to come your way. And a lot of times, the one that we think is the most, the easiest to overcome would be the pride of life, but it seems like that one gets in the way as much as any, especially when it comes to false doctrine.
Yes.
You know, we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or we don't want to say, well, you know, I really don't want to hurt that guy's feelings. I really don't want him to think badly of me because I corrected him. Friends, when we got the word of God, we ought to have the courage to do anything that needs to be done to get it right. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing to Satan.
Yes.
He was correcting him with the word, and that's exactly the way that we ought to do it. Now, we have other examples to demonstrate our courage, and we keep going back into the Old Testament because those examples back there are so vivid.
Amen.
And when we have these vivid physical illustrations, we can take them into the New Testament and we can see that they are also vivid spiritual illustrations when we make the application of these. The next one of these examples that we have is 1 Samuel chapter 14, and maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, the children of Israel are battling one of their ancient enemies, the Philistines. And the Philistines have kind of, you remember, they were supposed to go in and drive these people out. Now it's 400 years later. They haven't driven them out. And so you've got Saul, who is now the first king, and his son Jonathan. But the Philistines have come in, and they built a garrison, a fort, and they're dwelling in that fort. And Jonathan, who is Saul's son, the king's son, says unto his armor bearer, he says, let's go up, and we can take these people and we can whip these people. And the Bible says that in verse number 6, Jonathan said, this is 1 Samuel 14 in verse 6, Jonathan said to the young man, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Now, David, I got to drive a peg down right there and talk about the fact that it doesn't take great, huge numbers for God to accomplish His will.
That's right.
The Bible says He can do it by few or by many. And so the armor bearer says to Jonathan, will you do what you think we need to do? And so they go up, and they confront these people, and the Bible says that when they came up, they slaughtered them. It says in verse 14 that the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor made was about 20 men within an half acre of land. So they go into this fort that's about a half acre in land, and they kill 20 men by 2 against 20. Now, David, the odds would be overwhelming.
Right.
And yet they go in because they are strong, courageous men who know the Word of God, know what God expects them to do, and they know that the Philistines have no right to be there, and they're going to drive them out. And so he says, come on, let's go up there and let's do it. And he said, the Lord can do it by many or by few.
Right.
Wow.
Now, you know, one of the great applications that we have here is that we have the sword of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we have enemies of God. We have the enemies of the Word, the enemies of God. Because I tell you, any enemy of the Word of God is an enemy of God. Now, you can't separate those two. Because Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so here in the Old Testament, we see the example of courage and how to demonstrate that courage. And it means to respond to this danger without any thought of any kind of retreat at all. And we don't retreat. Why? Because we have God on our side. We have the Word on our side. And when we look at that, a great application of that very thing is the great commission that we have from Jesus the Christ himself in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. When he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And again, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so we're not out there alone.
That's
and
right.
when that armor bearer says by many or by few, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference because Jesus Christ is going to be right there with us if it is that we have his word, and if it is that we have his truth, and we can go out there and we can conquer the enemies of the Lord. And this is our purpose and our mission in life, Carrie. We put so much emphasis on making money and making a living, and we're so involved in making a living that we don't have time for our spiritual life. And if you don't have these foundational keys to this spiritual growth, that is, we begin with loyalty, and then we put on top of that responsibility, and we put on top of that courage, we will never grow in a spiritual fashion the way that Jesus Christ wants us to do. It is our purpose and our mission in this life to take that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 6.
That's right.
Take it out there, be a warrior for the Lord, and get that word out there to defeat Satan in the lives of others. Jesus Christ doesn't want to see anybody lost.
No.
He wants to see everybody saved. But we're going to do it his way or no way.
And David, you know this as well as I do. It takes courage to stand up and do what's right.
Absolutely.
You know, when all around us, someone said it's hard to do what's right when you're surrounded by enemies. And that's exactly right. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter, I believe it's chapter 14, that evil companionships corrupt good morals.
Right.
You know, we get ourselves surrounded by the enemy, and then we get scared, and we think that there's no way that we can conquer them. Hey, friends, jump in on this conversation, 445-2473. It's 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. And I know that sometimes we're a little reluctant about speaking on the air because we're a little bit afraid. We'll muster up the courage. Y'all jump in on this. Jump in on this conversation. We want to hear from you. Let's open this up. What is discouraging so many people today? We want people in on this conversation.
Absolutely. I know there's some people out there from Dallas and all around listening, and I know you've got a phone, and call us collect if that's your problem. This is Sam Upshaw's radio station, and he'll accept all collect calls today. Okay, so we're about up against the break. We're going to have to take another break. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we we have met to worship and adore the
Pony Express was a colorful part of American history. It ran from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California, about 1,900 miles. The trip was made in 10 days. 40 men, each riding 50 miles a day, sped along the trail on 500 of the best horses available. To conserve weight, clothing was light. Special lightweight saddles were used. The mail pouches were thin and light also. Letters were written on thin paper and postage was $10 an ounce. Yet each rider carried a full-size Bible. It was presented to him when he joined the Pony Express, and he carried it with him on every trip. Oh, how we need Bible-toting and Bible-quoting Christians today. The Park Heights Church of Christ is committed to spreading the gospel to Central Texas and beyond by speaking the truth in love. Friends, we would like to invite you to visit our services. We have Bible classes for all ages Sunday mornings at 9:30. Our morning worship services begin at 10:25. Our evening services begin at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And we also have midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. If you would like to contact us, please call 254-386-3953. We meet at 1300 East Boynton Street in Hamilton, and our mailing address is PO Box 107, Hamilton, Texas, 76531. You may also visit us on the web, www.parkheightscoc.com. We look forward to seeing you soon.
I come to the garden alone.
The prophet Isaiah said, "The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined." Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Years later, centuries later, when the apostles began to preach concerning Christ's church, this same area saw many people become Christians, and we read that in Acts chapter 8. Indeed, the light of Christ's redemption shone brightly. The light of Christ makes a difference in your life. The darkness of sin, you can find the light of His forgiveness. In the darkness of ignorance, His wisdom illumines the way. In the darkness of trials and trouble, His presence dispels the blackness. Whatever darkness threatens to overshadow your life, let Jesus be the light who drives it away. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieves shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. You are invited to come worship with us at the Hillcrest Church of Christ, where the light of Christ is taught. Bible class begins at 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning, with worship following at 10:30. Correspondence courses are also offered. Call us at 254-968-8167. Let us worship the Lord together in spirit and in truth. Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris. I'm here with my co-host, Kerry Clark, and we are considering the seven keys to personal growth. We have considered loyalty, we have considered responsibility, and now we have dealt with courage to somewhat. We have seen the examples of courage, and now we're going to look at how to demonstrate courage. And one of those demonstrations of courage was Jonathan that we talked about in 1 Samuel chapter 14. Mm-hmm. I understand we have a caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and make your comment or your question for us, please?
My name is Sue, but I don't have a question. I just wanted to let you know that we were listening. We're in Dallas, and we love the program, and we are just paying a lot of attention to it. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the call, Sue, and y'all keep listening. It's a pleasure to know that we've got some people in Dallas and all around listening to us, and we appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Okay, so we've got here the example of how to demonstrate courage, and I want us to turn now to Daniel chapter 2. And this is one of the great demonstrations of courage, one of the tremendous demonstrations. And just a moment ago, we were talking about the good attitude of Caleb after mm-hmm. you know, after he had to walk around out there for 40 years with no fault of his own.
Yeah.
Now Daniel, you talk about a guy that ought to be resentful.
Yeah.
He was taken into captivity, no fault of his own. Not only was he taken into captivity, There were some horrible things done to him after he got there.
Yeah.
This, they made a eunuch out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if anybody had a reason to be angry at the rest of the world for the rest of his life, it was Daniel. But instead, this man was a man of faith. And he was about to lose his head. We had a problem here with King Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in the world at the particular time. And he called all of his so-called wise men, and he told them that he had had a dream. And he said to the wise men that they needed to interpret the dream for him. And they said, okay, well, tell us the dream. He said, no, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me what I've been dreaming, and then I want you to tell me what it means, because I'm losing sleep here. And they said, no, you tell us the dream first. And he says, no, I want you to tell me the dream and the interpretation. Here's going to be your motivation. If you don't tell me the dream, I'm going to cut you up in pieces. I'm going to make your houses a dunghill. Now, how's that for motivation, Kerry?
Wow, I'm telling you.
So not only can they not tell him the dream, he decides that because they can't, that all of the wise men, this would include Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it would mean that all of them were going to lose their lives. Well, Daniel could do this, and he knew he could do it based upon his faith. He had courageous faith based upon what he knew of God's word. He knew that God would deliver him, and he
That's
told
right.
the king that I can do this. And so when he told the king that he could determine what that dream and that interpretation is, in verse 19 we read something tremendous. It says here, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision."
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was God's way of revealing his word to Daniel at that particular time. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken unto us by his Son." And so he speaks to us through the word today, but back then he was speaking to the prophets in things like night visions and dreams and such as that. So he revealed this word to Daniel. Now, you talk about following difficult instructions in the face of danger. The danger was, if he didn't get this dream right, if he didn't get this interpretation right, then he was going to be cut up in pieces. But he never doubted it. Not one time did he ever doubt the fact that God was going to give him the right words. And so he never apologized to anybody about the word that he had, and he revealed this word to God. Now, he didn't worry that somebody might discredit him by saying, how do you know that that's true? How do you know that that's true? Kerry, one of the great problems that we have in our society today is we have people that say, oh, I have faith, but I just can't know that that Bible is true. Now, let me tell you what I think that their problem is. They have a tremendous problem of unbelief. They don't
Amen.
Have any faith at all.
That's right.
They say, I got faith, but I can't believe in God's word. What would have happened if Daniel had done that? Oh, I've got faith, but I can't really trust God that he's telling me the right thing. Well, it wouldn't have been the right thing at all. When we have God's revealed word given to us in the form of this Bible, we ought never, ever to lose our courage and lose our courage in saying what is right, because we have God's revealed word backing us, Kerry. We can't be wrong.
You know, David, and you're exactly right. You cannot go wrong by doing right.
No.
You can't do it. Now, I don't care how you slice it and dice it, folks. When I do what God said, God's word is right. It will always be right. It was right 2,000 years ago. It was right 4,000 years ago. And if the world stands, it'll be right 2,000 years from now. And if I do what is right, I cannot be wrong. And friends, we've got to muster up the courage to stop being so cowardly that we, and David, I've heard people say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but. Well, no, there's no buts to it, folks. If that's what if God tells us, and David, I've mentioned this before, the old saying, we're mama said jump and you say how high. No, mama said jump, you jump.
Mm-hmm.
When God says go, you go. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get there. God will take care of it. Well, I don't know where I'm going. God will take care of it. You know, I love what happened with Abraham and Sarah. You know, they're living in the Ur of the Chaldees, and Abraham, God says to Abraham, you need to get out of here and you need to go to the place I'm showing you. Didn't tell him where. He said, I'll show you when you go. Now, can you imagine going home to your wife tonight and saying, Joy, pack up your bags, we're leaving. Well, where are we going? I don't know. Well, what are we going to live in? We're going to live in a bunch of tents. You know, but what did Abraham and Sarah do? They packed up their bags and they went because God said go. And folks, when God tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, He means exactly that. And God will get us there. He will tell us where we're going, and He will get us to the point that He needs to go because He said go.
Well, I would like to reiterate the fact that people who think that they have faith and yet they cannot know for true what the Bible has to say, and they say, well, how can I know that what the Bible says is true? They have no faith at all.
That's right.
That is no kind of faith. That is not even a good, what the world likes to call blind faith. That's nothing. You can't have faith in God's Word and not believe that it's true. There's
right.
absolutely no way, form, or fashion. And yet, we have denominational preachers all over the world preaching today, listen to me, and I'll tell you something. When they want to go and skirt around the Word of God because they don't like, actually, what the Word of God has
Amen.
To say. This is the most blatant, blasphemous way of trying to worship God that you ever did see, saying, I don't believe God's Word, or I can't trust God's Word, or I can't know that it's the truth.
You know, when I was up in Illinois, David, there was a man that was in a very high position in a very prominent Protestant denomination. He was a bishop, and this man did not believe that Jesus was God. He did not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. He didn't believe what God said about marriage, divorce, and remarriage because he was actively involved in homosexual marriages. And this guy was a prominent leader in a very large Protestant denomination in the Midwest.
What in the world was he doing in the religious business?
Well, that's exactly my question. Here you've got this guy who doesn't believe the book. He doesn't care what the Bible says. He's going to do what he wants to do. And friends, join us on this discussion at 254-445-2473. We've still got several minutes left in our radio program. Muster up the courage and give us a call. Give us a comment. But you're going to have to get a backbone. That was one of the synonyms that David read a moment ago. It is a synonym to this word courage, and that's having backbone. And friends, if you don't believe the Bible, give us a call. We'll talk about it on the air. We're not afraid to answer those questions that you've got. And if you've got a question that doesn't deal necessarily with courage, give us a call. We'll give it a shot, won't we, David?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we will.
254-445-2473. Now, if I said that too fast, 445-2473, give us a call, friends. We want to move to the next thing that we want to talk about, and we want to ask you to open in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17.
This is a very familiar story, by the way.
It is. And if you've ever heard of a man by the name of Goliath, you know exactly what we're going to talk about. And if you know about a young man by the name of David, you'll know who we're talking about. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you remember, now we're going to go through this very quickly. David is one of the young sons of a man by the name of Jesse, and he's got sons that are in this battle against these Philistines. And the Bible says that the Philistines sent forth their main guy, a man by the name of Goliath, who was about, if we understand correctly from the Bible, about 9.5 feet tall. Now, David, I don't know about you, but I don't want to get in a fight with a guy that's about twice my size.
No.
And I'm not talking about, we're talking about literally this man, 9.5 feet tall, and he is a monster. And he goes out and he offers a challenge, and he says, you send out your best man, and whoever wins this fight, then the other people are going to have to serve him and his family. And so the Bible says that when David heard this cry, he says, I want to tell you that we need to go out and fight this man because we're not going to be a bunch of cowards. And of course, his brother said, well, what are you doing coming here and all this? And we want to hurry through this. And it says in verse number 40 of 1 Samuel chapter 17 that David took a staff in his hand and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Now, David, we could talk about those 5 smooth stones for a long time, but we don't have the time. He put them in his shepherd bag, and he said he drew near to the Philistine, and the Philistine came on and met him. And it says in verse number 42 that he looked at David and he disdained him because he was young and he had a fair complexion. And he said in verse number 43, am I a dog that you come out here with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. In verse 45, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, or the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, he said, God will deliver you into my hand. I will smite you and I will cut your head off and I will give your carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, or the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day, to the fowls of the air. And it says in verse number 48 that he came to pass when the Philistine arose and came near and drew nigh to David, that David hasted. Now, David, he didn't run away. He ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag and he took out a stone and he slung it and he smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell on his face. Now, David, that's courage.
That's courage. Not only is it courage, it's confidence.
Amen.
And the illustration and the application that we are to take from this, in a physical way, we are to see the spiritual application of this. And the spiritual application of this is your courage based upon the faith, what you know of the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 again. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Your courage, based upon your faith, should give you the confidence not to walk away from a falsehood, but to confront that falsehood head on and even run in that fashion. He faced what he saw, a man, a giant with a sword in his hand, and he had a slingshot with 5 smooth stones. Every now and then, we think that we're up against Goliaths in this world. Amen. Because we hear men that talk and they have a PhD, and that's intimidating to a lot of people. No more intimidating than that sword that David saw, but he had total confidence.
That's right.
When somebody comes at us with a PhD, we've got God's Word.
Amen.
God's Word going to trump a PhD. By the way, PhD could stand for post hole digger.
That's right.
And we need to understand that we are not to be intimidated, not by anybody, not by their education, not by their standing in society, because we have God's Word.
David, all I can say to that is amen. And folks, we need to be courageous. David, you know, we've spent a lot of time on the radio talking about some of the great moral issues that are going on right now in America.
Mm-hmm.
We've got abortion by demand. We've got a bunch of people that are pushing homosexuality. We've got all these things that are out there. And it seems to me, David, that as Christians, we're standing in the shadows and we're hiding and we're not stepping out and we're not confronting these things. We've got things that are going on in our school system where they're changing the history of America to take Christianity and religion out of it. We're taking religion out of the workplace. We're taking it out of the public arena. And by the way, friends, that's not what our forefathers wanted when they came here. They came here to establish freedom of religion. And so, friends, we need to understand repent. Let's get courageous, just like Joshua, just like Caleb, just like Jonathan and his armor bearer, just like Daniel and his friends, just like David, and let's go out and conquer the world. Now, I'm going to hush and let David talk for just a minute here, but God bless us as we go together and fight these fights.
Amen to that. And I would like to make one more comment in that regard, is that we have the Word of God, which is the truth. And in the political arena that we're in right now, we are having all of these things that are ungodly thrown at us, the homosexuality, the abortion, like you just mentioned, the hate crimes bill, which is aimed, by the way, at Christians. And a lot of people don't realize this. Friends, we have an opportunity, and there are several of these propositions that we can vote on even on Tuesday. If you'll just get out and vote, you can voice your opinion and let the world know that, yes, we are Christians, and no, we're not going to take it sitting down. We're
Amen.
Courageous,
Amen.
And we're going to be confident in what we do because we have God's Word behind us. And with that, we're going to have to sign off because we're told here, Chris says we're out of time. We want to wish everyone a good and safe week, and God bless us all as we study God's Word, gain the faith to be courageous, and be His spokesman throughout all of the world.
Amen.